This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and with me, as always, is the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel. How are you, brother?
I'm good. We'll talk about it later, but I had another XPW weekend full of violent matches and blood and guts and broken light bulbs, but other than that, I'm good.
Awesome, awesome. And joining us in the studio today, very special guest, a friend of mine, Miss Zeta Zhang. How are you?
Hi, y'all. I'm doing awesome. So glad to be here.
Yeah, should be fun. I mean, I'm excited to dig into your career and everything like that, but I'm going to start off at the very top because it's on your bio on Instagram. First Asian-American WWE superstar? Is that real?
First Asian-American female.
Female. Right. Yeah. First Asian-American female.
Mr. Fuji, idiot.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My bad. Is he really, or is he from, like, Wichita, Kansas?
I mean, listen, I don't mean to be racist, but I'm pretty sure Mr. Fuji was from the Orient.
Okay, all right.
On looks alone.
Yeah.
And there's Tiger Lee.
Yeah.
It's been... Yeah. But she is the first female,
yeah,
for sure.
That's interesting. My brain wants to go, no way, you're so young. There's no way that they are that far behind. But I guess so.
Not young at all. But thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. When I saw that, I was like, there's no way. There's just no.
Yeah, it's crazy because, wild. I was like, okay, because at the time, there wasn't that many females also. And then later, they started bringing them in. And I guess... It's not very big in the Asian American culture because, stereotype, but it's kind of true. So, my parents and all my Asian American friends, whatever, their parents always say, hey, be a lawyer, a doctor.
Right.
So, yeah. Going the pro wrestling route is very foreign. It's just unheard of. So,
yeah, that makes sense, I guess, if you pay attention to those stereotypes. Right?
Like, did you have a. Most male wrestlers today would say, I watched Rick Rude or The Ultimate Warrior or people of that nature. Did you have someone that you watched as a kid that made you go, I want to do this?
Yes. So it's funny thing is my grandma was the one that was super into pro wrestling. So she used to watch WWF and WCW because she is from China and doesn't know any English. But pro wrestling is the only thing that she could watch because it doesn't require knowing a language. It's so the storyline's very straightforward. You know the good guy, you know the bad guy. So it's something she loved watching. So because she took care of me, I naturally watch it with her. And my favorite wrestlers growing up was actually Hulk Hogan because it was her favorite, and also Chyna because she was just so unique. Right. The only one female, she's jacked. I'm like, holy crap, girls can do this? And it was actually something that made me feel like, wow, I really want to do this because she can do it. Why can't I?
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, she definitely was a big woman.
Yeah, she was jacked.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah. She's bigger than Triple H.
Yeah.
What a couple.
Power couple.
We know who is dominating in the bedroom.
Yeah. Man, I would go with Chyna on that one.
Have you seen the weird picture that it goes around the internet of, I forget who it is, choking Triple H? But he's just kind of and he looks like he's enjoying it. So everybody uses it as this weird... I'm picture that's what happened with Chyna.
Yeah,
I saw the adult film she did. It was
yeah, I haven't.
We with talked X-Pac, about
it. Yeah. Or
I haven't either. But now I'm gonna.
Now you're gonna look
I'm
for it.
Probably gonna look for it now that I mentioned it.
I mean, it's fascinating. She's definitely the dominant one, I think, in most of her past.
Well, especially with X-Pac, that dude's tiny.
It took me 10 minutes to figure out who was who at first. So. It's a little grainy, my feed.
Was it One Night in China, right?
One Night in China is available on DVD, YouPorn, RedTube, and EarlSkakel.com.
On your selling, Patreon.
Selling bootleg copies of a porno with two wrestlers.
Oh, man. Shit. So you were in the first Mae Young Classic.
Yes.
Up against Shayna Baszler.
Mm-hmm.
How did that phone call happen? How did you get into the Mae Young Classic?
Dude, it was so random. So I had only been in WWE for a few months, and I hadn't wrestled at all. And then all of a sudden, Sarah Del Rey, my coach, Sarah Motto. She basically came up to me one day after training and she was like, hey, you got selected to be in the Mae Young Classic. And I was like, okay, don't know what it is because, you know, I didn't know at the time. I was like, all right, cool, whatever that is. And then next thing you know, like months later, like maybe a month or two later, like nothing was spoken of it. Mm. We just got busy doing other stuff. Then awesome, bam, like 4 days straight of nonstop, like promotions and like interviews and whatever else, photo shoots for this tournament that's coming up. And next thing you know, I'm like, okay, I'm wrestling Shayna. And we didn't have much planning at all because that's kind of how wrestling is, a lot of like on the fly last minute stuff. And because I was still so new in wrestling, I, you know, didn't exactly know enough pro wrestling moves to use. So I really enjoyed that match because they picked a great opponent for me. They picked Shayna, who has an MMA background. I have an MMA background. And so they matched us up together and just kind of let us do what we want. And so it was actually the first time that they were just like, have free reign, do what you know. So I was like, okay, cool. So they just let us do what we know in there.
Nice.
Is it hard coming from an MMA background to do pro wrestling? Just because I watched Junior Dos Santos in AEW, and it looked like he was having a great time, but he was also struggling to not fully blast his opponent. Like, you know, he's pulling up on his punches, but, you know, he's trying to do it close enough where it looks real. Was that the same with you? Like, or because you both had MMA backgrounds, was it easier?
It is so freaking hard. I wish I, like, some part of me kind of wish that I started with a clean slate, like nothing. But then the thing with MMA and pro wrestling, there's so many things that is related that it's hard to just switch your muscle memory when your muscle memory is so used to doing something one way. Like, for example, the headlock takeover. There's actually a move in judo called the hip toss. It's very similar. The only difference is when you're throwing them down over, like, in the judo one, you're literally using momentum and you're throwing your whole weight into them and you're crashing the side of your ribs on their face. So it's like when you're already using the momentum to go this way, you can't just like stop yourself. It's literally midair. It's hard to just stop your muscle memory. So luckily, when I first started, the first Chinese girl, Xylee, she's like a great friend of mine. So we were in the same like level together, and so because she has a martial arts background also, she's used to taking hits, so we were always partnered up with each other, and I would always just like slam her so hard on her neck. And the whole time, like, because we both didn't know this is not how you do the move. Right. So we're just like, oh, this is just how you do it.
Yeah, it just hurts.
Yeah, it hurts. It's supposed to hurt. We're like, this is fine, you know, we're used to this. So we just like been taking hard ass moves and getting punched in the face over and over, thinking this is just part of it because we're so used to training martial arts. It wasn't until later we went like up a level after, you know, the beginning level courses. We went up a level and we worked with girls who are more veterans and stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's too hard. It's like, oh, we've been doing it wrong this whole time. That's why we go home with bruises all over our chins and our face. Yeah. Okay, now we know, you know.
There's certain moves, though, that there's no way to, like, you know, like Finn Balor's coup de grace thing. How do you prevent a human being that's flying through the air and landing on your chest from completely killing you?
Yeah, that
you
one
just gotta tense up and take it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you really just can't. Yeah, it's, you know, you can't fight gravity. So at the end of the day, a freaking body is flying at you. You're just gonna have to take it. It hurts.
Yeah,
like pro wrestling hurts.
Yeah,
I've gotten, you know, I would say equal amount of injury in pro wrestling as with MMA. It's just different type of injury. Like MMA, I'm getting punched in the face all the time. But like pro wrestling, my freaking knee, my back, my shoulders, like everything's fucked up.
Yeah.
So
what's the worst injury you've gotten in pro wrestling?
Fully torn ACL, PCL, MCL, meniscus, all torn. Every CL in here, right. Every ligament is torn. And the ACL is fully torn off. And I had a dislocated AC joint. I did something to my back to this day. I don't know what it, like, I had a shooting nerve pain on my neck just from, like turning my head sometimes. Oof. Sometimes I'll like sell and be like, this, just wow. this freaking, it shoots up. And it was like, it was like that for like almost 2 years. Oof. So,
How'd you get the knee all torn up? Like, was it something you did or was somebody?
It was something I did. It's one of those things. It's like, pro wrestling is one of those things where you have to fight gravity. You have to do, I mean, yeah, there's some moves that's, you know, lower to the ground, but every once in a while you want to do some flashy dives stuff. And stuff, yeah. You know, like that's what makes it a little bit different than just MMA. Cause if people want to see MMA, they would go see MMA.
Right.
But you know, I was just doing an easy, like dive to the outside and it takes that 1 second of hesitation where I ended up hitting the edge of the ring and my knee twisted on the way down and Ugh. Tore every ligament in there. And it sucks because that literally happened. It literally happened right after I got signed to MLW.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And you, you were their first female wrestler yeah. as well. A lot of firsts for you.
Yeah, you're a real trailblazer.
Trying to be, you know.
That sucks. Before we move on, I want to talk about the Performance Center. You were there, right, for
yeah.
a while.
Yeah.
Did you do NXT as well?
Yes, I was signed to NXT.
You were signed to NXT. Yeah. Okay. So I heard a lot of stories of like Dusty's promo classes and all that. Like,
oh yeah.
Who gave you promo classes out there?
It was actually Ryan Katz.
Okay.
He.
I don't know who that is.
He worked on the. Inside, he has like a background in, I guess, just entertainment and kind of rap and stuff.
Okay.
And so he got hired by WWE to run the promo classes. And sometimes, Steve Corino,
oh,
will step
wow.
in. Other times, this guy named Joe, he helps with the writing team for Raw and SmackDown.
Is he still there? I mean,
yeah,
there's been such shakeup.
He's like one of the main people, but okay. he doesn't always get to come down. And then, people would just like pop in and stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah, but mainly it was Ryan Katz.
That's interesting that they would hire somebody that wasn't a wrestler, that isn't, you know, like you would think they would have people there like, you know, KO or somebody who's really good on the mic. Instead of somebody who's like in the music biz or whatever.
Well, he has a vast background, but I think what they wanted was someone that understands acting. Mm. So we focused on a lot of acting there. WWE actually had some famous actor coaches fly in and give like a whole seminar on acting. So surprisingly, like when I went there, I expected like a lot of training and like specific promo courses, but we actually learned like improv work. Ooh. Yeah, we did a lot of improv. We would do improv exercises and acting exercises. And yeah, we had to write promos, but they kind of had us build like an acting foundation because I think when I went there, they wanted it to be more, they were pushing the realisticness of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
So that's why when I got there, everyone's got like normal names. It's not like, you know, the Undertaker, you know, like no one has that name. Everyone has like a normal first name, last name.
Right. Yeah.
Or just a one
name. Or first name, yeah.
Or a first name or something like that. Because they were trying to like push the realness of the people rather than being too character-y.
And that's NXT.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what attracted me to NXT. It was just, it felt real. It felt like, a you know, something exciting and different. Like, although I love the old school gimmicks and all that.
Yeah.
It just felt a little more, I don't know. Exciting to me.
I mean, the internet's ruined the old school gimmicks.
Like, yeah.
You know, now you know Kamala's not from Uganda. He was from Mississippi. Like, this kind of ruins the
yeah
the vibe of, you know, kayfabe.
Yeah, kayfabe's dead, kind of, technically. I mean, they're still working. I mean, look at what's going on with MJF. Nobody has any idea what's going on.
Well, he's just a Jewish guy from Long Island, you know, but that's his character. Almost.
Oh, no. I mean, like, story-wise, like, we don't know if that whole thing was a work or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's, it kind of sucks that kayfabe is gone, but then I like it and don't like it. So I like it for the fact that, like, people now have to look at it like, wait, what is real? It's like, kind of like a guessing game.
Right.
So they know this is entertainment, but at the same time, there's a lot of real life to it. Like, mm-hmm. for example, so one of my friends, Renee Michelle, she is married to Drake Maverick. That was in WWE.
Oh, I know her.
So their wedding was actually a real wedding. It was a real wedding. And last minute, literally the night before, WWE calls them. They're like, hey, can we like do an episode like at your wedding? Can we just film at your wedding? And my friend's like, sure, I guess. Yeesh. So it literally, it was like a real situation, but they just took it and used it for a storyline. So that's what's cool about it. It's like there are things that is real, and it's kind of like you don't know which one is and which one isn't. Mm. It's like the mix of the two. Because it's kind of like, you know, when you watch a movie, you know these characters aren't real. Yeah. But
really?
Really?
You mean there's not an alien in Predator actually killing people?
Actually, no. The alien is definitely real because I met him.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
I met him a few years ago.
But I do like the way MJF does his promos.
Cause oh, yeah.
He does bring that aura of, is he real or is he faking this or is this just a script? Because I was at that one match at the Forum where he got in trouble.
Bomb. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, halfway through it, I was like, I think he means.
Well, you were there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were hanging out backstage. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that was a great promo. I honestly think it was like partially real.
50-50?
Yeah. That's what's cool about it. It's like they get to use this platform to speak the truth, because so many times, like, especially, I mean, well, with any big company like WWE, everyone's trying to get a spot. They're all trying to get noticed. And there's people that just kind of get pushed in the back burner. And they're just like, well, I'm fed up not getting anywhere. So they use their promo classes as a way to talk shit to the company.
Yeah.
So they're literally talking shit for real. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, wow, that was a great promo. And then they like pull them up. So that's what happened to Rhea Ripley.
Mm.
Yeah, because they like, she's a great wrestler. Like she was there and they weren't using her at first. And she was like, why? Like they weren't using her. And then finally she was like, screw this. And I remember a day she came to me and she's like, I'm going to cut this promo. And she like went over a promo with me. I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. And then so she cut this great promo, but it was so real because it was real. And she passed it off as a promo, and everyone was like, holy crap. And that's, you know, that's when then she started getting used all the time. She's, yeah, it's funny how that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you go on YouTube at all and watch old promos of, like, your favorite wrestlers and try and, like, get some techniques from them? Or
yeah, we had to do some of that. Like, we have skull classes, so it basically is, like, tape studying. So right. We would study promos and wrestling matches, but I would mainly say they made us study a lot of wrestling rather than the promo side of it. And the promo side, they basically, it's more hands-on.
Right.
We're just there learning the acting side, and then we write our promo, we show up and do it, and then the coach gives us feedback. Ryan gives us feedback right after, and then we adjust it to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you kind of. Like, I miss kayfabe, but also I do enjoy that element of realism that and the mystery of, like, is it real or not? Like, I remember a while back, The Miz cut a crazy promo on some talking smack thing, and I thought it was real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm
bet
sure
you probably
most of
is.
It was real.
Yeah.
He was just fed up of just people talking shit and not using him right. He's like, I'm a world champion. And yeah, I don't know. It's nuts when you think about The Miz and how he's 2-time Grand Slam champion.
Yeah.
And people think of him as like a lower mid-carder, like no one really cares. I'm like, that's wild.
Well, he was jobbed for so long or misused for so long. I think it's still hard to get people to see how great he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to like come back from that, especially when, you know, they put him out like that for so long.
Yeah, now he's the jobber for the stars because he's got like, you know, Bad Bunny and Logan Paul and all these people on him. But now I wanted to ask you, now that things have changed in WWE with Triple H taking over and Vince is gone and all that, is it appealing to you to go back to WWE?
It is, actually.
Yeah.
Because I really like what Triple H was doing. Yeah, he was doing a really good job even when I was there. It's just like, you know, when he gets to a certain point, the higher ups like Vince, they're just like, nope, got to change everything. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I always felt like they would have this idea and we could just pulled another way. But now it actually gets to be his idea. I think he gets it. He understands how pro wrestling is nowadays. And Yeah, it does seem pretty appealing to I mean, go back over there or something, you know?
Tony Khan, listen, you dummy.
Yeah,
you're about to lose her.
What are you doing? Like, we were at that show at the Forum, and like, you were like, I don't know like when my next match is. I'm like, go ask Tony. He's right over there. And then, like, Tony kind of, you know, he's like, I saw your match. I'm like, okay, cool.
I was like, okay, cool. All right. I guess.
Yeah, but
I don't know if he just says that to everyone. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just trying to be nice. But I don't know. Why would he? I don't know. I think you're in a really good position because, I mean, you have these, a lot of firsts, like we mentioned. You've gone up against some of AEW's best talent between, you know, Thunder Rosa and Tony Storm. Who did you? It was Tony Storm that night?
Tony Storm, yeah. And I went Chris Statlander. And
yeah, Statlander. Nyla. I mean, those are their
Nyla.
Top, you know, top talents. And you're up there with them. And in WWE, you had your run with Shayna and the class. You know, I just think you're in a good position to kind of bargain right now with both of them. I don't know.
That would be fun, you know.
So are you a full free agent right now? Can you wrestle for anybody? And then would you prefer a home just to have one home? And
Yeah, I think I would now. Yeah. Because at first, when I first was released, I was kind of like exploring, kind of seeing my options. Because I started wrestling in WWE. So I didn't get to see the scene out there. And at the time, OWE in China was like, had a lot of buzz. So I was like, oh, let me go over there and check it out and see if I can do something more than just wrestle and kind of like help build a scene and, you know, do something different for like part of my background. So, but it didn't, that company didn't work out very well for other reasons.
Right.
So I'm just like, I was pretty disappointed. I went out there and I was like, it's not what I expected. So I came back here. And now after seeing everything, I'm like, okay, yeah, I would like to have a home base. That would be nice.
Okay. Do you have a dream opponent? I mean, that you want to face?
Yes. I would like to wrestle Asuka.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a good match, I think.
Yeah, because I like her style, and we know each other from NXT. I think she has, like, a mix of, you know, the pro wrestling side, the MMA side, and also the comedic side. Hmm. So she has, like, a mix of funny and serious, and I just think it's nice to have, like, a little mix of everything.
Yeah.
She seems very well-rounded, and she really understands, like, when I've seen her wrestle with other people, she's very good at leading. Mm-hmm. So I just know having a match with her would just be fun, and it would just be like an easy match, actually.
Right. Now, do you want Asuka now, the, you know, the butt attack Asuka, or do you want Kana, the murderer?
I enjoy the butt attack, actually. I think it's really, really fun. I like the...
I second that.
Just do butt attacks all day.
Yeah, you just keep bouncing off people.
Like Billy and Chuck. Remember that?
Oh.
It's like when I first started wrestling, I was like so serious. I'm like, I just want to wrestle. I just want to do this. But I'm just thinking like now that I've been in it longer, I'm just like, well, what makes it different than MMA then? If it's like very, I mean, of course, there are the serious wrestlers. I like seeing the technical side of stuff, but you could still be technical and comedic at the same time.
Sure.
I think the thing that I like most about pro wrestling is seeing the people's characters, like how they are and their personality. And I'm just like, that's what makes me remember them is their personality, not the moves of what they can do. Mm-hmm. So now that, like, being in it longer, I'm just like, I really like all the little funny things or little things that helps me remember them.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Would you, I wouldn't say you necessarily have a gimmick.
Yeah.
You're just you. Would you think of, like, do you want to have a gimmick or do you want to continue just being like, I'm me, I'm a badass, you know, MMA person?
I want to be me, but more me.
Okay.
So, like, I've been playing around with it, like, on smaller shows, basically just, like, adding the comedic side in it. Because before starting out, it was just, like, I wanted to... So, one of the reasons why I want to get into entertainment is because not only do I enjoy it, but I see it as a platform to help people. Because my background, just, like, growing up, I got bullied, like, most of my life. So, I feel like this whole underdog story is important, and it was something that when I did the Mae Young Classic and they interviewed me, that was something I really wanted to make sure they got. Mm-hmm. So it put me in a very serious, like, underdog light. So I kind of went for that for a while. But now I'm like, well, I want to show, like, the fun side, and I enjoy the fun side. So I just want to throw in, sprinkle some funny stuff here and there.
Okay. If you were to be in a tag team, who would you want to tag with? Would you want as a partner?
Tag team? I would actually want my friend Xia Li, because we've literally been talking about this forever.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, we've been talking about this forever. If it was in AEW, even though Tainara is now in a tag, I would want to tag with her because, you know, we're good friends. We have similar styles. She comes from a judo background. I come from MMA, which, you know, jiu-jitsu, there's a lot of crossovers. I think we would just, you know, do a lot of cool stuff together too.
Tainara is
Conti.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Sammy's girl.
Yeah, Sammy's girl now. You know, like, yeah, they became a thing. But before that, I was like, you know, it'd be cool if we were in a tag. But yeah, now she has her own thing going on.
I don't know how I feel about the whole, like, just making out on camera the whole time.
I don't think anyone likes it, unfortunately. Sorry, Tay, but
I mean, it works as a gimmick to piss people off.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little as much, heels, though.
It's like, so much.
I don't need to see that.
I feel like that's... I don't know. I feel like it's been a thing for a while. So them, and also it was all over NXT too. I feel like everyone was making out. Like everyone had some love triangle story. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Even going back, I mean, they still do it in WWE, or not recently, but they did the whole thing with like Enzo and Nia Jax, and they did things with like Miro and Lana, and
there was so
Bobby
many.
Lashley. I mean, they
yeah,
just,
yeah.
What was that?
It was so many. I felt
wait,
like,
who was he making out with?
Not Lana, Miro's girl.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, they didn't they get married?
Yeah, like, it was like, yeah, it was that.
Lana and Bobby Lashley got married.
And then even in NXT, everyone was, like, making out, too. So, yeah, like, I so felt like weird. Every time my feed pops up, someone's making out with someone. I'm like, what the fuck has this become? Like,
did you make out with anyone?
Sells. No. Oh.
Would you, like, if they said, is there something you wouldn't do, like, in terms of, like, stuff like that? Where they came to you and said, hey, we want you to make out with, I don't know, Hornswoggle.
I mean, you got to make out with
I would do whatever it takes.
For comedy.
Oh, really? Okay.
For the sake of wrestling. Because right, I care right. that much.
Right. You need a heel manager?
and then finally, the last question I have before we jump into our top stories and stuff. Who was who your favorite person that you've worked with so far? I mean, you have so many big names.
Oh, favorite person I worked with. Oh, my gosh.
Because you also have, I have it here, but I didn't mention it, but you did Bloodsport, Barnett's Bloodsport.
Yeah, that Shafir. Was so much fun.
Bloodsport was fun. You're a wild broad. Because that's a borderline,
yeah.
I don't like saying real, fake. That's pretty realistic.
MMA-esque.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that was fun. Great.
She was talking about doing bare knuckle fighting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she wants to do that.
You want to do that?
I mean, if the pay is right, it'd be kind of fun getting punched in the face for, you know.
Oh, really? are you single? No, what? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
So, yeah, favorite person that you've worked?
You know, gosh, there's so many great people I've been very fortunate to work with, but... I actually enjoyed, it sucks because I don't have footage of this match. I actually enjoyed my match with Maserati. Hmm. So we had a match in China for OWE, and I was out there touring for like 3.5 months. And it was only us. We were the only two girls that was there. And so we worked with each other regularly, like every week, and we had a storyline built up and everything. And it just got to a point where... It was like, you know, she's a heel and she was like cheating with her boyfriend, Nick, and all that. And it just led up to this moment where it's like I got so into it because it's been such a build that I almost forgot that I was not winning the match.
Oh, no.
And like, because I was like really into it. And it was just... very well planned. We like worked little things and stuff, and it got to a point where, you know, when people thought that I was gonna finally, you know, win and get justice and whatever else, she ends up pulling another thing over me, and I actually started crying. I cried for real
because you forgot that you were
Yeah, like I cried for real because I felt the emotion of the match. And what was so great about it was like I looked out in the crowd and there was other people in the crowd crying.
Oh, that's nice.
It was a very emotional match. And I feel like that's what I loved most about that match because it was just very, it's like, you know, the best actors, they pull from real emotions.
Yeah.
And that was something that I felt emotionally connected to. So that was probably my favorite match, purely on the emotional side.
And there's no footage of this match anywhere?
Friggin' been trying to get footage. This is back in 2019. Mm.
Put him on the case. If it's out there, he'll find it. He's very good.
China internet is like freaking firewall like crazy.
I got Surfshark. We're not sponsored by them yet.
I'm sure you do. Surfshark.
Yeah, I've literally been trying to get that match, and they went through so many different types of managers over there, like management change, and they won't send me the match. I'm freaking pissed.
Don't worry, I got you.
But yeah, I'll take care of it. I don't even know what that is.
And he's going to end up in prison. He's going to end up in a Chinese prison.
It's a VPN. They won't find me. Don't worry about it.
They will when I tell them where you are.
All right. So we're going to, you know, we usually go through the news of everything that happens during the week of wrestling and all that, but it can be a little boring. And there's a lot of shows that are already doing that. So we're trying to narrow it down. We got top three stories that we want to talk about. And then we got a topic. We're going to talk about the Intercontinental Championship because I feel like it's getting a little bit of shine lately since Trips took over. But let's start with the top three stories. And it's the first one I got is Triple H's presence being felt. There's a lot of things going on. You know, a lot of people thought that Vince was still pulling the strings and, you know, Trips is kind of just like a face or whatever. But it's so obvious if you've been following NXT, the things that are happening. For example, Drew McIntyre on Raw saying, you know, we're wrestlers. Let's just wrestle. Like, that used to be a banned word.
I remember.
Vince didn't allow people to say wrestler on TV in the World Wrestling Entertainment Company.
I remember when we had to cut promos and stuff, they specifically made us say sports entertainment. We couldn't say wrestling, pro wrestling.
What are some of the other banned words? I know there was like, they can't say belt.
Yeah, they can't say belt. Yeah, we can't say belt. We have to say title.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. It's like hard because if you watch other pro wrestling stuff, you're so used to hearing this, and then all of a sudden they're like, you can't say it. You're like, oh God.
How do you stop it?
Yeah, especially if a lot of times you're cutting a promo like live and they switch stuff up on you. You just got to go with it and try and remember the things not to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting. I feel like a part of that is the fact that Triple H, Vince McMahon couldn't be teased. Vince McMahon had a vision, and it was like, I'm not going to listen to anybody else. And when AEW, for example, started making fun of sports entertainers, I don't think Triple H is standing for that. And he's like, I'm not going to be made fun of. I'm fucking Triple H. And like that's where he's like, no, we're going to bring back these words. So then when they make fun of us, it doesn't make sense anymore.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. There's also things like more focus on wrestling. Raw, there was a lot of matches. When usually, you know, Raw is like 15 minutes of recaps of last Monday and, you know, just commercials and promo packages for, you know, somebody's grandma. Like, it's insane. So I like that there's more wrestling. Yes. And also all the returns that we're seeing. Hit Row is back. It feels a little weird without Swerve, but from what I read on the internet, Swerve wasn't even part of the original plan anyway. He was just kind of thrown in there as a suggestion.
Really?
It was just the three, and then they're like, let's throw Swerve in there.
Swerve is so good.
He's so great. He's so great.
Shout out Swerve.
Yeah. And then, you know, we saw smaller wrestlers get TV time. Ciampa, AJ, Cedric, Alexander, Mustafa Ali. So, I mean, these are all things that I think Trips is doing. He likes good wrestling, regardless of size, where like Vince was more body guys. Like, we need the big guys on TV, you know?
I mean, I think Vince will always have the final say, but I mean, it's his company, like, you know. But I also think Triple H, I like his new presence because he's a fan of wrestling. Like, I don't know if Vince was a fan of wrestling, he's a fan of making money. Whereas Triple H treats it more almost like a real sport, like. And he's a fan of, you know, he's often said he was a fan of NWA, AWA in the 80s, which was more realistic. Mm-hmm. So less about the gigantic guys. And so I'm excited because I think with Triple H involved, and AEW will step it up now because they've kind of been lagging a little bit. The new Monday Night Wars or Wednesday Night Wars, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, Tuesday Triple H is trying to beat the internet, and he's trying to bring back kayfabe. This Dexter Lumis thing for week one, that was really solid.
Yep.
Week two, everybody now knows that Dexter's back, but week one, we probably could have got... There were a lot of people talking about how the commentators weren't acknowledging it at all.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught Dexter Lumis's comeback, too, but he came in. They've been doing it very secretive where, like, they'll have an interview with Bobby Lashley, but then in the background there's some crazy shit happening. Like, there's a dumpster fire or a car accident. I saw some clips of it. And then at some point, Dexter comes out and tries to, like, jump the barricade, but security guards stop him. So, like, a fan, you know, is running in. So it's pretty cool. I like that idea.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it's competition's good. And I think when one company steps it up, the other's almost forced to, and so I'm a fan of both companies doing well.
Same. Yeah. I love that. It's literally back in the days and stuff. Yeah, it's really good. Also, on top of that, like, I feel like the fans are so smart nowadays. They're smart fans. They don't want to, like, be treated like they're dumb. So knowing how to wrestle and wrestling well is very important.
Yeah, I'm glad that we're back to wrestling because I'm a wrestling fan. I like the gimmicks and the story. That's all great, but, like, I didn't really care to see Bad Bunny at WrestleMania. You know, I don't care about that shit. I know it's entertaining. I know he's number one on Spotify and all that bull. But come on, I want to see some wrestling.
Yeah, we didn't need to see him, but I do like his music. So I know. That's the only reason why I was like, "Oh, cool, Bad Bunny."
The other topic I have here, the titles in WWE currently are, you know, it's kind of getting exciting. I feel this is also blends in with Triple H's presence. Like, they're giving a lot more shine to the Intercontinental Belt. They're putting promo packages on TV for it to kind of remind people, like, hey, look how cool it used to be. Same with the United States Championship. But we're kind of at a moment where I think everybody feels that Roman's time is up.
Yeah, I think that's been a while.
Roman was Vince's guy. I don't think Triple H, I'm sure he's not just going to squash him either. But
oh, you don't know, Triple H.
Yeah, that's true. He does bury people.
but call him the Undertaker. Unbelievable.
But I feel like definitely
the new background. Your passcode.
2107.
Oh,
okay.
Triple H is sabotaging
us. Yeah, Triple H is checking in.
Just kidding, Triple H. I loved it when you buried Sting in his first match. It was awesome.
I think it's Jade upstairs.
Damn.
Hey, Carl's a big Sting fan, you know.
Big. I love that angle.
But yeah, I feel like Roman's time is near. And that's not a pun about Karrion Kross and TikTok and the whole thing. But there are a lot of contenders for the Undisputed title right now with McIntyre at the Clash of the Castle, obviously. But then they introduce Karrion Kross, and now McIntyre and KO are having some fire on Raw. By the way, did you catch that promo from McIntyre against KO?
I caught KO's promo the other night.
Yeah.
I like mean KO. Like,
yeah.
He's very good. He's almost got like that MJF quality of he can be humor. He can be, you know, mean when he debilitated Ezekiel. Come on, man. So I like the new angry KO.
Yeah. Speaking of Ezekiel, it's not part of the topics, but my goodness, they showed a family picture of Ezekiel at the hospital with his entire family.
Oh,
and it's
my
all
God.
Him, like the freaking Eddie Murphy. It is amazing, and I love every second. Please keep it going. I can't wait to see him cut a promo as there's like a little kid with his face.
Oh my gosh.
I will say that when they bring Elias back and he does that first song, I'm going to mark out a little bit.
Yeah.
I do miss his music. You like Bad Bunny's music. I like Elias.
I like Elias' music too.
Did you listen to his album on Spotify?
I'm not going to lie to you. I did not. Elias has an album on Spotify.
Yes, sir. He does. Wow. A real ass album.
I mean, I might, you know, I'll check it out. I'm a subscriber. It cost me any money.
Yeah, right. Speaking still of the titles, the women's tag tournament is happening right now. I don't have the brackets in front of me, but I know Asuka and Alexa moved up on the brackets. I know that they have like some NXT folks involved. Stark, and I forget her name, but it's it feels like there's more focus on the women's division right now, and the tag titles are being presented. Like, we all thought those tag titles were going to go away after Sasha and Naomi walked out.
Well, that's what's great. I feel like that's Triple H is doing, because when I was there, they had a lot of focus on women, and I feel like that's really good for us because, you know, we get more opportunities.
Yeah.
So I think it's, especially nowadays, there is a spot for it, and women have learned how to wrestle compared to, you know, back in the days. And he's hiring athletes and people who know how to wrestle. So I think this is good that they're finally pushing that.
All right. I pulled up the brackets. Io Sky and Dakota versus Asuka and Alexa are happening. We've got Natalia and Sonya versus Nikita and Zoe. Those are the NXT girls that I was talking about. They're going to go, and then the winner of that will face the winner of Raquel and Aaliyah. Or no, actually, they'll face Raquel and Aaliyah because they won already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a cool tournament. I was hoping for, like, a question mark spot, and that would be the return of Naomi and Sasha. But I feel like they are going to definitely come out at some point.
Yeah, at some point.
What about Doudrop?
Doudrop's not. If she was, she's out. But, yeah, Earl's in love with Doudrop now.
I wouldn't say in love. We were talking in the last episode what could really make women's wrestling pop again is that bigger female, like that, almost like an Andre the Giant, but a female version.
Yeah.
And there's just not that many 6'8" women out there who can.
No.
Yeah.
Do you think that would help to have like that ass kicking, like
monster type?
Just monster heel.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's always something captivating when you have someone so big and you're so used to seeing guys being that size, but have a girl like that, it's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Who's gonna go against her?
Right.
Well, you've worked with Rhea. She looks big on TV.
She's jacked.
She's legit jacked.
She's tall.
She's tall.
She's like, she's 6 foot, and she's like 190.
See, like, she could be the one. I think they just need to focus on her, like, put her in that position, which they kind of did.
Yeah, because Triple H really likes her. So, you know, and she's really good. She's really good.
Well, we'll see how that goes. I have a feeling that it's going to be Alexa and Asuka, and then at the end, Naomi and Sasha come out and they challenge them to get their belts back. I don't know. That's just my theory on that. And speaking of theory, I feel like he is going to not cash in since we're talking about the belts. I actually think that's how they bring Gargano back, because Gargano is kind of floating in that free agent spot, and everybody's like, when is he coming back? He'll come back and cost Theory the match or team up with Theory.
Hey, dude. Watch TV on your own time, dude.
Oh, God. I think he's about to pull up the porn.
Oh, yeah. Just what we need.
Oh, Jade's doing it.
Jerked chicken? Why does it say jerked chicken on there?
This will get viewers. Can we get it a little louder, maybe? Fuck, dude. Just a little cup of cocoa is
with habanero peppers. This one's really hot. Wow.
I'm going to plug Nikita's book at the same time, too. Jesus Christ. Bro.
All right.
That'd be funny if porn popped up.
Yeah. We're waiting on the China porn.
Oh, that was?
Yeah.
Oh,
I just yelled at Jade. Jade is up there trying to put her, because that's her show. She's in the front trying to put it on the front bar screen.
Oh.
And she put the wrong TV. And now her stupid show where people cook and fuck in a food truck.
Okay.
Timestamp. All right.
Leave that in, though.
Yeah, leave all of that in. Yeah. Anyway.
F it.
Anyway, most people may not know, but Gargano and Theory were part of The Way in NXT.
Yeah.
So I feel like Gargano will come to the main roster and do something with Theory, either cost him the match or try to help him, and then they just become a tag team or something. I don't know, something like that. And then finally, the last story we had, AEW All Out is coming. There's a trios tournament that's going on, and everybody's questioning who's going to be the Young Bucks partner. But it's so very obvious, Kenny Omega. Does anybody think it's going to be anyone else? I hope it's Hornswoggle, and they just swerve everybody.
I mean, this could be the Bray Wyatt move. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Bray Wyatt, but I do think that Omega's almost – too obvious the choice.
Yeah, I was thinking that. It's so obvious that they're just going to throw something at you where you're just like, oh, shit.
What if it's Brandon Cutler, the dude with the sprays, the air sprays that comes out after?
I really... That guy is pretty funny, I'll be honest with you. But, I would almost save Omega for the pay-per-view, which is only in a month. I don't know. I just... It feels like on a Wednesday night you're blowing up an oh my god moment.
They have no choice.
Yeah, it's the Game of Thrones sponsored episode, so I feel like they want to go big, but I don't know. And also, like, what are you gonna do with Kenny if you don't, like, if you bring Kenny back as a singles, you're kind of like, you have CM Punk, you're taking away from CM Punk and the Mox thing. You know what I mean? I feel like he should just go do the trios thing with the Bucks, get the belts, and then eventually they'll break up or whatever.
Maybe it's MJF.
Ooh. Mm. Okay. That's not.
I doubt it. He doesn't seem like he'd play well with the Young Bucks. Yeah. But I don't know. It's
maybe
wrestling.
That's part of it. Maybe he will be brought in and you're thinking they have to go together, but he's just not going to play well.
Yeah. For All Out, who do you think unifies the titles, Punk or Mox? I think it's Punk, obviously, right?
Very over, yes.
I mean, they're paying him a lot. Paying him to not lose. Be the champ.
And he didn't really get his chance to like do a couple matches as champ because he got injured like right away.
I mean, I do like Mox. I do feel at the pay-per-view is when they bring back MJF in some capacity.
That's why I think it's Mox. It has to be Mox because I feel like CM Punk from the beginning was always there to help the younger talent. So I do think that Mox is more likely to jump ship back to WWE if they fuck him over for CM Punk. I think that's Mox was one of the people that was annoyed that they kept bringing in older talent into WWE. That includes Brock and Goldberg, and I think they're going to give him the title, let MJF have a feud, end up getting the title from Mox at some point, and then losing it back to CM Punk. But I can't imagine Mox losing again.
Interesting take.
I didn't think about it like that.
There's some brains on this show.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them. I'm just the humor guy. But I mean, it will be interesting. I mean, there's several scenarios that, you know, MJF could cost either one the belt, and then he's thrown in the picture.
Yeah, because MJF could come out and help Punk after their little... They already had the feud. They already had the blood feud with the picture that Earl uses for his... inappropriate.
The dog collar match. A good, I mean, like, that was an 80s style, you know, man, this is real, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if they like each other in real life, but some of those shots were pretty stiff.
Yeah.
Tomorrow starts the excitement of the pay-per-view. But AEW doesn't really have a lot of writers. It's pretty much just Tony Khan, right?
Yeah, he's the only one, I think.
I don't want to get you in trouble, but like, do you think? Do you think a company would benefit from having some creative minds help the owner?
Definitely, definitely.
I'm not speaking of any company in particular. I love Tony Khan. He's a fan with money. He's the guy who, okay, he wants Bray Wyatt. He's going to double what WWE is paying him and go get him. Like, that's great for. Yeah. An idiot fan like me, but sometimes I do think, I'm a Brian Cage fan, and the guy's virtually unused. It's crazy to me. You have this hulking giant, and I think Tony Khan likes to collect things at times, and just to say he has them.
Like a true nerd, like myself, I have stuff I collect.
I don't want to talk about your wrestling doll collection.
You have more dolls than I do.
I got them for free. I did get some for free at the Ric Flair roast. I paid for Lex Luger's doll because
he's needs the money. I'm sure
needs the money. I mean, I don't think the $200 I gave him is going to help him, but like.
Damn.
I cried four times at this Ric Flair roast because, these guys are superheroes. And to see, Magnum TA and Lex Luger in, wheelchairs, I mean, it was a bummer, man. I cried in front of Magnum TA. I had to go get him a bottle of water because I was like, I'll be right back, dude. I'm going to get you some water. And I was like,
oh, man.
I know. It's what you girls and guys, you guys are like fictional superheroes to us. Like when Roddy Piper used to come up here in his car. It was like super seeing Superman pull up. Like,
yeah,
you know.
He fought the aliens and They Live. Yeah. And that's still one of my favorite movies.
I thought that was real.
It was real.
It was real. Stop. There's a documentary.
That happened.
I bought some of those glasses. I didn't say shit.
Interesting take, John. I think Punk takes it with the help of MJF, and Mox goes for the trios title with the Blackpool Combat Club. So that's my theory. And then finally, I have who beats Wardlow? Because I mean, who beats Wardlow at this point?
He's just been squashing everyone. Yeah. It's like, who is going to beat him?
I don't even know who's is he up against. Do they have a card, like him on the card?
Really? I mean, not as of now. I mean,
I'm sure they'll build something tomorrow or whatever, but.
But this race of a rush, you know, Tony coming, let's just put him up against another squash match, and it doesn't really help build him.
Maybe Brian Cage comes out there nowhere.
I mean, I saw him wrestle Saturday night. I'm like, this guy, they need
to. They didn't use him. They didn't use him, and all of a sudden, bam. Yeah. He's the only person that's jacked enough to friggin' go against him.
Well, they did a promo a couple weeks ago with him and Tully Blanchard's new group. You know, maybe as Tully Blanchard as the mouthpiece. Because I don't know if Brian Cage is great on the mic or not. I've seen a few promos. It wasn't like, oh, my God. And then that's it. He's part of this new faction. And then
Tully's out of the Gates of Agony, apparently. Now, I don't know what happened there. I didn't really ask Toa when he was here because it seemed a little sore. But, he's no longer – Tully is no longer managing the Gates of Agony for ROH. I think he's kind of – I think he left the company.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But he's great on the mic. He would be a great mentor.
Absolutely.
For Cage or, hell, even Wardlow, who – like, Wardlow's – he's okay on the mic, you know. He's got that Goldberg-esque type of, you know – who's next?
Yeah.
I think we have Braun Strowman coming in.
Who knows? That'd be a nice one.
Yeah, that'd be a nice one.
His independent company's not exactly killing it.
Jeez, control your narrative, and then they can't control, like we were just talking about it outside with Adam.
Yeah.
He can't even control the narrative on YouTube right now, because when you search control your narrative, the first 10 videos are people talking shit about it. It's not even the actual matches or whatever.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But I think Wardlow's next opponent is kind of depends on Triple H. Like, who likes Triple H and who doesn't? You know, everyone's made a big deal of all the younger talent going back to WWE because, you know, they like how Triple H runs things. But I would imagine there's a few older guys, you know, who don't like how he runs things. And so that could be Wardlow's next opponent, someone who's a free agent or about to walk away from WWE. So, but I do think he needs his next feud. I think he needs a new feud, like a
strong feud, a story.
It's him beating up 20 security guards.
It's not a story.
Yeah.
It's not. And these guys are not security guards. You know, I know wrestling's like predetermined and all that shit, but like, no one's gonna hire a security guard with a pink mohawk and tattoos. Like, clearly they're independent. They're independent wrestlers. I mean, come on.
Maybe they do security on the weekends.
Yeah, you don't know.
I don't know.
If I was a wrestler, that's probably my side gig.
Yeah.
Bouncing at a security club or something. I don't know.
They can have tattoos.
Yeah.
I'm wrong then. You know what?
They're not real security guards, though. Don't worry about it. All right, so let's jump into the topic, which is the Intercontinental Championship. I'm very excited because that's one of my favorite belts growing up. I loved it. And currently, you know, if you didn't watch Gunther, I hate saying that name, Walter versus Nakamura on SmackDown was incredible. Nakamura came back with some of that old school Japanese strong style. There was some legit knees to the face and some really hard hitting moves. So it was very nice to see that they let them, you know, Triple H let them loose. And from what I read online, too, Vince was planning to bury Gunther, Walter on TV because he didn't like him.
Oh.
Yeah. But thankfully, Trips saved him.
Vince has other problems right now.
Yeah. He's a little busy.
$20 million.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot. I mean, like, I spent a few bucks on women. It ain't $20
million.
So I wanted to bring up, you know, I wanted to ask everybody, including myself, favorite IC champ of all time. I would say for me, personally, Razor Ramon. I know he may not be the best IC champ for everybody, but that was mine. How about you, Earl?
I can't go before Beautiful.
Oh. I don't. I can't.
She's kind of thinking.
Okay.
I'm giving her a moment.
I mean, since I'm the oldest guy in the room, oldest person in the room, I gravitate towards, you know, I have a few choices. You know, Ultimate Warrior. I think for the time, he was amazing. When he beat the Honky Tonk Man in 15 seconds, that's the greatest squash match I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was fun.
Rick Rude is probably my favorite just because his promo. He was a great caller of matches, so he really carried his opponents. So, and his promos are, I don't know if they would do well today because it's a little sexist and misogynistic.
Controversy is for, though.
Yeah.
People like controversy.
Oh, I mean, if Rick Rude were in his prime today, he would definitely get some viral moments. Just calling someone in the front row a fat pig. And like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, calling someone a whore in the second row, giving them the Rude Awakening. Like, I don't think that would fly today.
No.
So I go Rick Rude and Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior is on a. I looked up some lists of people's, and a lot of people had him on number one, too. So did you think of one?
I would say, I'd probably say Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah?
That's surprising, given your age. Like, I wouldn't even...
Well, I watched it when I was young.
Right.
But I started watching when I was 4.
Nice.
But I stopped around 12, and then I went to MMA, and then I came back. But, yeah, he just stands out. He's so different. Well, yeah. I mean, he was cracked out on everything. So that too. But I mean, that's what made them so different too. I felt like what made them stand out at the time.
Well, his promos were so insane. But we still talk about them, you know, 30 years later. They were gibberish, basically. But
I'm talking about
but
outer
that's
space
the thing,
and,
though. Yeah. It's literally it's gibberish, but it kind of makes sense at the same time. It makes you think.
Oh, his promo, he called out 9/11 in his SummerSlam promo. He's like, tear down the cockpit doors.
Right, yes, I saw that.
Dispose of the pilots. Like
before 9/11.
No, this is like in 92. Like,
wait, what?
Yeah, there's a promo where they basically describe 9/11.
No,
so
not
he's
they.
He's literally psychic.
He's talking about Hulk Hogan going, Hogan, dispose of the pilots. Make the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, he wasn't as dumb as people thought he was. So,
he might be one of those crazy people that people think is crazy, but really, I don't know, they got some insight on some stuff.
You mean like the writers at The Simpsons? Because
yeah, like that. Literally, that's probably him. Because all those people end up seeming crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was great for his time frame. You know, that he looked like Bon Jovi on.
I mean, people Biden. Still love him now. People still love him now. I still see, like, all his stuff around. Like, people still buy his costumes for Halloween.
Oh, sure.
It's like he's just a classic.
Yeah. Are we good, John? Are you good?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Do you want to play Jade's promo again?
Just I think we're good. Okay.
I love it. Oh, I bet. I saw this.
Well, suit. Since you're in here, who's your favorite IC champ? Yeah. Go back to the mic.
I would say it's a tie. Like, I doesn't matter what title it is. I like a good shit talker, so it's probably a tie between Y2J and The Miz.
Ooh. A solid choice.
The Miz, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Miz. He talks very. He cuts good promos.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many. Like, you go through. I mean, Don Morocco was great.
Yes, Ricky Steamboat.
Ricky Steamboat.
Who's going to be apparently at Dynamite tomorrow for that Game of Thrones edition of Dynamite.
I don't want to, like, listen, I saw Ric Flair wrestle live.
Oh, he's not going to wrestle. He's a timekeeper.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, I know we all age and stuff. I got no problem with wrinkles and, you know, maybe a little bit of a gut every now and then. You know, Sid Vicious, as big as he was, just, you know, lost a little bit of muscle mass, but, like, I don't, it's...
Nah.
Wear a kimono. I hope he's got cargo pants on. I don't want to see any.
Oh, man.
I learned a lot 2 weeks ago. In that.
All right. Favorite IC match for me, to continue with my favorite champ, it's the Razor Ramon Shawn Michaels ladder match. I mean, that is just, to me, that was peak wrestling when I was a kid. But I also want to give a little quick shout out to the video I sent you. today, which was Nakamura versus Ibushi for the Intercontinental Belt in New Japan in Wrestle Kingdom 9. If you haven't seen that, please just Google it. It's on Daily Motion. It's easy to find. One of the best matches I've ever seen in my life. I don't know.
I mean, I'll agree with your ladder match. I mean, that's like, it stands the test of time. That will be a great match in 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, selfishly, like I said before, I loved it when Warrior beat Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, yeah.
It was just such a stupid promo, and Honky Tonk Man was a great cartoonish heel and still gives the best shoot interviews. If you are bored, I know you got a lot, maybe on an overseas flight, just pop in some Honky Tonk Man. He's so bitter. I love it. But that was just funny to me, and perfect for the time of that late 80s, you know, squash match.
Yeah. How about you?
Steamboat and Randy.
Wow. That's a great one, too.
Oh, you are
that
student.
That was actually in our skull session in NXT. They were like, there's some great matches, and these are the list that you should study. And I remember looking at that one. I was like, holy crap. I see why they picked this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good match.
Yeah, that's a great match. That's just classic. There's just some matches out there that's just like, it's going to stand, you know, against time.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to look up at that match.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. For this one, I want you to answer first. So favorite belt design for the IC belt? Because there's been a few iterations.
I don't even know, to be honest. I'm going to have to look what it looks like. Favorite belt.
Because there was the classic that was kind of rectangular, and it was with the black leather, but then they had one with the white leather. There was another one that was more oval shaped that I remember.
I remember it was, I think I liked the more oval one.
It looked like it had the globe on it.
I need to look at it.
And the new one, I don't like the new one at all. I don't like the new one.
It needs to be white. I like what they
I like the light the color one.
Yeah, the white belt, the white leather, or maybe even baby blue. I think someone had a baby blue leather belt.
I like the late 80s, early 90s version, you know, and really even almost the mid 80s. I just like, you know.
The classic.
Yeah, I mean, the ones today are just almost too modern looking, and I know it's a generational thing, I think. You know, if you ask anyone over, say, 45, I think they're going to like the older belts, and if you ask, you know, people like your ages.
Oh, it's this one. I mean, I guess it's not square. It's kind of like an ovally. This was 2014.
The 2014 one. Yeah.
It has the white with the blue.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like, that's just a good color scheme.
Yeah, I like that.
It stands out more.
Yeah. That's the one, I think that's the one that Cody brought back.
Oh, yeah?
Because I remember they had a thing that it was, they had a different belt, and when he became the champ, he had like a whole unveiling on TV of the bringing it back, the old school white leather, which is the one that I like. I think that's the one I like the most.
Is that the only one that's white? I think it is.
Yeah, probably.
If that's the one that Miz had, then I think so.
Yeah.
I just remember it stood out the most. Yeah. I mean, blue and white is just a nice color scheme.
Well, I hope they change the new one. I hope that with all this stuff that's going on, maybe even bring back, when Cody comes back, give him the IC belt and make him do it again. I don't know. Bring back the old belt again. I just don't like the new one, the weird circle with the spikes. It's just...
They're trying to be... It's very similar to... And this was my favorite feud, China Jericho for it. It's very similar to China. That was my favorite Intercontinental title feud ever.
Two solid dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm being told Warrior had the blue belt.
Warrior had the blue belt. Yep, I remember that. Well, awesome. I'm very excited.
Great memories.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, what the hell? Like,
wait, how do you remember? I don't remember what I wore the other day. How do you remember what they wore?
Well, you get hit in the head a lot with wrestling and MMA. but anyway, thank you so much for joining us today. This was a lot of fun. Right over there, tell everybody where they can follow you and find all your stuff.
I am on Instagram, Zeta, Z-E-D-A underscore Zane, because the motherfucker stole my name.
Oh, no.
So you have to add the underscore, Zhang, Z-H-A-N-G. And all my other stuff is under in the bio. I'm on everything, TikTok, Patreon, Twitter, everything.
Do you have anything you're training for? Any matches that are coming up? Anything that we should be keeping an eye out for? I know you put out on IG a Street Fighter type of thing.
I have one this... Oh, yeah. That was just, you know...
For fun?
That was fun because I've always wanted to do, like, So one of the reasons why I love pro wrestling is I've always been into like fighting stuff, like fighting games. Mm-hmm. So it's very much the same. I just get to do fighting games in real life now, yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, our Mika from Street Fighter, that was a little person I portrayed. And now the fans are asking for me to wrestle in that gear. So maybe I might just randomly show up in our Mika gear there and just go wrestle on something. But yeah, I have a show coming up on the Sunday.
This Sunday?
Yep.
Where?
Commerce Casino.
Okay.
I'll go with you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's the company name?
It is UWN or something.
Okay. Yeah. I'll look it up.
Yeah. Oh, he'll know. He'll have a full bio drawn.
It's called Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Yeah, Peter Avalon got me.
Wait, what?
That show.
Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Oh, I know those guys. Yeah. Those are the ones that do the improv stuff.
Right? Yeah, they do.
It'll be fun.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm, easy to find at RRBG Podcast on all the things. And Earl, where do they find you?
You know, I've been told lately I've been very selfish in my life, so I'm not going to give my plugs. I'm going to plug this man's book. If you like AWA, NWA wrestling, Triple H would buy this book. This is Nikita Koloff. He's one of the great champions of that era. You know, he's trying to spread the word of God and talk about his pro wrestling career. So go to koloff.net, buy a book, a t-shirt. I had to pay for this, $69 for the book, t-shirt, and an autographed picture, he said, to Earl, my favorite comic, even though we've never met before. So we're all full of shit.
Yeah.
So Kamala, I signed my Kamala picture. He said, to Earl, the greatest comic of all time. I said, let's not go nuts, Kamala. At Earl Skagel everywhere, but buy this man's book. I don't get a cut. I'm Jewish. I don't get a cut of the sales. Just help a guy out. He's a pro wrestler from the 80s. Believe me, after what I saw 2 weeks ago, buy a book.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Thank you guys for watching. See you next week.